And us here at Landmark are just so glad to be a part of the mighty work that is happening. Are you glad to be in the presence of God here this morning? Let me ask you this way. Are you glad to be in His house here this morning? You're not still asleep, are you? Hallelujah. Well, it definitely feels good in this place. I'm charged, challenged, changed, and excited about what God is going to do in the near future. Landmark, don't be mistaken. We are in the greatest revival that we have ever been in the history of the church. Never before have we seen our hands be able to reach out further than this than we're at right now. How many here can remember 208 Landmark Place? Or 208, I don't even remember the address. I was so small. How many here remember the old brick church back on Thomason Street? We were in the sound booth just earlier and trying to get everything together and organized and ready for this morning's service. And I saw this picture and I said, we've got to show this. Started out with 12 people here at Landmark. 12 people with the mindset and the mission of going, finding people that were hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. And then look at where we are today. Look at where we stand here today. And look at where God is going to be taking us. I'm not going to be too lengthy at all here this morning. You've already been standing for a while and we've already had a great time. Basically, what I want to do here this morning for just the next few minutes, I guess, is I want to brag on the church. How many here like to brag on your church? If everybody else can do it, we can do it. Number one, first thing I guess I want to say is it's so good to have my good friend here with me today, Justin Allen, his precious family. We went through a Bible study not too long ago. We started it a long time ago, and the only chance that we had to really be talking about the Word of God in the Bible study was while we were in a patrol car trying to perform our duties. And it wasn't too long ago that we were wrapping things up. And I looked at Justin and I said, buddy, I'm about to drop a bomb on you, man. Justin, with the attitude that he's got of, you know what? If it's in the Word of God, show me. And I gave it to him. And something all of a sudden just began to stir up inside of him. I wouldn't embarrass him for nothing, but he embarrasses me on the job sometimes. So here we go. This is payback. Hey, it's hard, you know, being 5'9", working with 7'2" people. But something stirred up inside of him, and he said, I want to be baptized. I said, all right, when do you want to do it? As fast as we can. So I met him here at the church. Wasn't even having a church service, and was able to baptize my good friend, Justin, in the name of Jesus. It wasn't too awful long ago. You know what? You can be seated for right now. It wasn't too awful long ago that I received a phone call as well from him about his mom. And she had gone to the doctor, and it looked like it was bad news that they were receiving. The doctor said that she had cancer in her body, and Justin gave me a call and asked if we would pray. I told him, I said, we'll pray right now, and then we'll do more than that. I said, I'll have Landmark pray. And at that time, we were getting ready to be heading to youth convention. I said, I'll have the state of North Carolina, all the young people pray. We called on God. Wasn't too many days after that. I think it was about 2 or 3 days, as a matter of fact. I showed up to work, and he met me at the door. He said, just wanted to let you know. Mom went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, don't know what happened. The cancer's gone. Hey, I'm just bragging on the church, bragging on God. Not too long ago, Brother Steve Love's mom informed Pastor that she had cancer. The church began to pray. We began to seek after God, knowing God can do what He has done so many times before. Needless to say, we were informed not too long ago that Steve Love's mom is healed of stage 4 cancer. The Bailey family, Brother Julian, was baptized just a few days ago at the YMCA, and from what I understand, the only one ever to be baptized at the YMCA in Lexington. Thank you so much to Brother Knight, who incidentally, got the Holy Ghost as well. But thank you so much to Brother Knight, who incidentally is, before we know it, he's going to be running the YMCA, was able to get the open door for us to be able to go in. Listen, God has given favor to Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. Just Friday night, Cooper's friend was able to come to the Axe Troopers camping trip. Was having a great time, having a lot of fun. It was dark outside, and they were around the fire, and he decided he was going to ride his bike. Went riding his bike down the hill, didn't realize that there was a creek down there, and bike met the creek, disappeared. Next thing you know, he stood up, raised his hand, he said, "I'm okay." Cody Wilson, right over here, with a big old smile on his face, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, I can go on and on, but I got one more for you. You ready for this? Sister Carol's funeral. Family was here. Her grandson, whom I was informed used to come to Landmark as just a young child with Sister Carol. Her grandson was sitting on the very front row, the corner right here, my right, your left. And the service began to start. Music began to play. Holy Ghost came over him so strong he didn't know what to do. He jumped up to his feet, raised his hands, began to cry. I'm telling you right now, I looked over at Pastor. Pastor looked at me. God almost filled her grandson with the Holy Ghost at her funeral. You know, and it's an amazing thing to be able to have the opportunity to be able to feel the presence of God the way that we do here in this house here today. This isn't something that can be felt just anywhere. I'm not saying that this is just something that is felt only here at Landmark. No, that's not true. But I am saying we are blessed to be able to feel the touch of God that we feel in this place. I said it not too long ago. It was probably about, 3 years ago now. And Cody, thanks, buddy, for all your help. We're into it now, man. But it wasn't too long ago. And we were at the hunt, at least me and my wife. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a sharp, sharp pain in my side. And I looked at my wife, I said, "I don't know what's going on." I said, "But I feel like I'm dying." And she looked at me, she said, "Well, if you'll just lay back down and maybe you just need to sleep it off." I woke up probably about 30 minutes later, and Brother Todd's already smiling at me because he knows what's going on. And woke up about 30 minutes later, and that sharp pain was even stronger. I looked at my wife, I said, "No, we got to go to the hospital, and we got to do it now." And so crawled into the truck and found our way to an urgent care center. And we went into the urgent care center. Long story short, I was in so much pain that I began to holler for help of any kind. I needed some type of painkiller. A nurse came in, walked into the room. She looked at me. She said, "Kidney stone, huh?" I said, "Yes." She said, "That's some rough stuff." I said, "Can I get anything? I need just any type of painkiller to take this excruciating pain away." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, I can't give that to you. That's something that the doctor has to do." I looked at the lady and I said, "You know what? I said, nothing against you or who you are. I appreciate your profession. I appreciate all that you do. But if the doctor is the one that can give it to me, I need the doctor." And I began to shout. I began to scream. So much so that it almost embarrassed her. I didn't care. I was in pain. I wanted something to fix it. Next thing I know, the doctor poked his head around the corner, stuck his head in the door, looked at me and said, "What's happening, buddy?" I said, "Kidney stone. Need medicine. Now." Like yesterday, now. Doctor walked in, gave me what I needed. Immediately the pain was gone. The same thing applies here today in the church, today's generation. A lot of times we come to the house of God, we're in pain. A lot of times we come into His presence and we're hurting. A lot of times we come into His house and we're in need of a miracle. Let me tell you, the doctor is in the house and it's time to get attention. It's time to get the attention of the doctor. You see, the reason that we feel what we feel in this house here today, and it's not felt in a lot of other places, is because we know how to raise our voice, we know how to shout, we know how to rejoice, we know how to get the attention of the master physician. And if you're going through anything today in your life, all you got to do is begin to raise your hand and begin to shout the name of Jesus. You see, that's something that the devil doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you to raise your voice. He doesn't want you to shout that name. He doesn't want you to rejoice in the middle of your circumstance, because he knows that the very moment you begin to call upon the doctor, that everybody else has got to step aside. All opinion, all fear, all doubt, all worry. And then the master physician's going to step on in and say, "What do you need? I've got you." There is a strong push for today's generation more so than ever before. Brother Cook, if you'll put that first scripture up there, sir. There's a strong push for the generation of today to push and to strive and to run towards the mark more so than ever before. Luke 14:23 says this, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. What we need to have here this morning is a my house type of mentality. This is my church. This is my house. This is a place where I can be healed. This is the place where I can be delivered. This is the place where I can be restored. It's not my neighbor's church. It's not just my mom and dad's church. It's not just my uncle or my grandparents' church. This is my house. He said, go into the highways and the hedges. Meaning, don't just sit at home. Don't just sit there all by yourself feeling the presence of God the way that you do. He said, go out and find them. I'm so excited about the guests and the visitors that are in this house here today. And I'm glad to see, as I look around, as the songs were being sung, tears began to flow down their faces. That's not something that you're feeling just because you're in the middle of pain right now. That's something that you're feeling because the presence of God is dwelling here in this house. And He's already beginning a work in your life. The Word of God says this, He inhabits the praises of His people. If you ever felt as though you have been all alone, then all you got to do is begin to worship Him. When we worship Him in spirit and in truth, He begins to dwell inside this house. He doesn't just come by and visit. He doesn't just come by and walk through. He makes a dwelling place of where we are. He makes a dwelling place of where we are. Not too long ago, I was blessed to be able to go on a missions trip to Malaysia. Me, my dad, mom, my wife, Jeremy and Stephanie, we're able to make our way to Malaysia. And it was very impacting to go to the place where we were having the meeting. And as we showed up, you expect to go to a church. When you're here, you're going to church, you expect to go to a place where there's walls, possibly a steeple, air conditioning, padded seats, and nice carpet, good music. We made our way to the church, and as we got to the church, we began to recognize that it was very apparent that this wasn't the type of church, I guess, exterior that we were accustomed to. We went to the church, and there were tarps, there were poles, there were wooden sticks that were holding tarps into place. There was just a small amount of area where there was electricity. They had set up one fan right there for the speakers that were standing at the very front, and then there was a guitar, there was a drums, there was a keyboard, and a microphone for the preacher, and that was it. And then as the service began to start, all of a sudden we began to recognize people coming out of the jungles. We begin to recognize people. A few people drove, a few people had cars, but others walking out of the woods around the church. And all of a sudden, before we knew it, the whole place was packed. I was touched when I looked out upon the congregation of people that were showing up, metal chairs, but not many. All of a sudden, to see people walk in and walk to the very front, and as they got to the front, they recognized there was no seats, that didn't hinder them, that didn't stop them. They just simply sat on the dirt floor right there at the very front. As the songs began to be sung, and as the name of Jesus began to be shouted, all of a sudden people began to jump to their feet and begin to rejoice, begin to clap their hands, begin to worship, begin to praise God in His holy sanctuary. And all of a sudden, God touched me in my heart. And all of a sudden, He began to speak to me and began to tell me, we are so spoiled here in the States. We are so spoiled and so blessed to be able to be in the atmosphere that we are in right now, to where we can come in, we can be comfortable. We have air conditioning. It can be 100 degrees outside and still be nice and comfortable in here. It can be freezing outside and it can be comfortable in here. But yet there in Malaysia, they were sitting on the floor. And let me tell you, it was excruciatingly hot. After the service, we walked outside, and there was this river that was in the very back, and I noticed a few children that would walk out into the water as soon as service was over, and they'd swim, and that was their way of cooling off so they wouldn't get too hot. And so I thought, you know what, I might just do the same thing. I've been out here, I'm sweating, I'm tired, and I began to walk to the water's edge, and an usher walked over, and he said, hey, you going to get in the water? I said, yeah. He said, okay. He said, we're here watching for crocodiles. I said, I'm not getting in the water. No worries. You don't need to look out for me. Turn around, walk back to the church. I can deal with a little bit of sweat. Next few days began to roll by, and it just got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. About the third day there, I walked out to the river's edge, and I began to weigh in the balance my life or the chance of cooling down. And immediately the chance of cooling down started to look pretty good. And I said, you know what? If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And I jumped in the water and I just began to cool off that way. But listen, we are so spoiled in the United States to be able to have what we have. To be able to stand in His presence each and every time that the doors are open and be able to lift our hands, begin to shout hallelujah, and then all of a sudden begin to feel that glory come down from heaven and begin to consume all of our fears, all of our worries, all of our doubts, and begin to refresh and to renew. How many people here have ever been healed because of prayer? How many people here have ever been delivered because of prayer? How many here have ever been touched in your body because of prayer? Listen, we serve a prayer answering God. Don't let the world try to tell you that He's dead. Our God's alive and He's well and He's still hearing the prayers of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. Brother Cook, if you'll find that next scripture for me, sir, go ahead and put it on the screen. Joshua 24 and 15 says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, small g, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and..." Somebody say it. Somebody say it like you believe it. Somebody say it even louder. "My house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let me tell you, the Lord's coming back soon, Landmark, and it's time more now than ever before to shout with a voice of triumph and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Bible says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's not a power to be fearful of what the enemy's throwing in your face. That's a power to be able to jump to your feet and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's all it takes is for you to say, "You know what? I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the world thinks should be. I don't care what scholars are trying to teach. I only care what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God says it, that's what we'll do. Because as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." Can I step on some toes right now and simply say this? It's time for men to be men and to square your shoulders and say, "There's not a devil in hell that's going to tear apart my family. There's not a devil in hell that's going to tear apart my home. There's not an enemy out there that's going to attack my mind. There's not an enemy out there that's going to have control over my children. There's not an enemy out there who's going to take my wife. There's not an enemy out there that's going to have me so wrapped up in drug and addiction that I can't be in His presence." Square your shoulders and say, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." The Word of God says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come here just to have a patty cake party. He came here to find those that were hurting. And when He found those that were hurting, He approached them. He laid hands upon them. And the sick were healed. The dead were raised. The blind eyes were opened. The deaf ears were unstopped. And He said, "Greater things than these shall you do." Then all of a sudden, we need to recognize that if greater things than that we're going to do, what's the hold up? It's the reaching. It's the reaching. Every day we rub elbows with those that are hurting. Every day we rub elbows on our job. We walk into stores. We go to school and we're approached by people that are hurting, those that are hungry. Young people, let me tell you right now that just because they put a smile on their face when they're at school does not mean that life is good when they're at home. A lot of times they go home and they're so full of torment, and a lot of times they go home to drug abused homes. They go home to alcoholic mom and alcoholic dads, and the reason they have a smile on their face when they're at school is because it's a time of reprieve where they're away from that. You need to hear me now. It is time to reach further than we've ever reached before. Lay hands upon the sick and watch them recover. Don't you dare be ashamed. Don't you dare be afraid that the power that God has placed in you will not work through you. He said, "Greater things than these shall you do." Somebody say, "It's my prayer. It's my house." When we recognize the power that God has given you through the Holy Ghost, when you recognize the call that God has done towards you, when He saved you, He didn't save you so that you can just sit back and say, "God blessed me, God healed me, God saved me." No, He picked you up out of that mire and He picked you up out of that mess so that He could place your feet on solid ground and you could find somebody else that's hurting, somebody else that's hungry. At Thomason Street, I already said it, there was about 12 people there when we first came here. If you could imagine right now, if we would have not reached, if we would have not teached, if we would have not gone out and found people, where would you be? our home Bible study teachers, those that take time out of their busy schedule to knock on doors and say, listen, I've got the Word of God and I'd like to share it with you. Do you have time? How many here ever went through a home Bible study? I want you to raise your hand. How many here found a tract? Maybe someone came and knocked on your door at one time or another and handed you a flyer that said, welcome, or we'd like you to come visit Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. How many of you here ever had one of those placed in your hand? How many here have ever passed those out? How about that? Listen, we are in a mission right now. We are in a mission to reach a lost and hurting world. We get excited when we talk about foreign missions because of the great things that are happening. And possibly many of you looked at it and you heard the testimonies. You saw the children dressed up. You saw the flags that were being waved. And maybe you thought in your mind, I would love to go on a missions trip. How many here thought that? My hand's up first. I like missions trips. Maybe you thought, I would love to go on a missions trip. Let me go ahead and tell you something. You already on your missions field. Every time you walk into your job and you see people that aren't here with you right now, you're on a mission. Every time you go into your school and you walk into that cafeteria and you're surrounded by 500 young people that don't know truth, guess what? You're in the middle of your missions field. Every time you walk into Walmart and you walk past that pharmacy and you see people standing in line that are sick in their body, you see people that they're missing their hair and you can tell it's because of chemo and cancer radiation, and you see all that, guess what? You just stepped on your mission field. I'm charging somebody and challenging somebody to recognize one thing, that we are not in it just for ourselves. We are in it to fill this house. Not so that we can just say we got great numbers. No, because when that rapture happens and that trumpet sounds, we won't be walking through the gates of heaven by ourselves, but yet we'll be hand in hand with family. We'll be hand in hand with our children, with our moms, with our dads, with our co-workers. I wish somebody would get excited right now about what God is challenging somebody to do. Go into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come. Why? So that His house might be full. The Word of God says that He goes away to prepare a place for me, a place for you, and that where He is, there we may be also. Let me tell you, He created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. He's been working on your house now. He's been working on my house now for over 2,000 years. I don't know about you, but there's not one thing in this world that could hinder me from trying to reach my destination of heaven. There's not one thing that someone could tell me that would hinder me from reaching and digging deep into the Word of God. How many here can attest to say that if it's in the Word of God, that's what's got to be inside of me? If He spoke it, then I got to do it. If He said it, then I need to adhere to it. Listen, you might come into this house today and say, I've got faith, and faith is great. That's an awesome start, but you have to react upon your faith. The Word of God says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Let me explain something to you in just simple, good old Lexington-Davidson County terminology. Simply this. If I told you that there was $1 million in the sound booth back there, and it was sitting right beside Brother Jeremy and in between Brother Cook, and the first one to get to it could have it, would you sit there and say, I've got faith that it's there and that's good enough for me? No, I got a funny feeling that Brother Jeremy would be the first one to probably grab hold of it because he's closest. Yeah, he said he's right here. But I also have a funny feeling that there would be people climbing over chairs trying to get to that location. Why? Because in order to obtain something, you got to put your hands on it. You got to experience it. You've got to have it. You've got to take it for yourself. Let me tell you something here today. There is something here in this house right now, and the Lord is saying, whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come. Don't just stand there and say, I believe it's there. Let them come. He said, knock and the door will be open. That doesn't mean stand by the door and say, I hope He opens. He said, knock and the door will be open. You see, what we got to do right now is we got to get the mentality of, it's my house, I'm knocking the door down. I want to challenge somebody here in this house today to simply do this, to find someone that's hurting, to find someone that's hungry. Understand me now, when I say hungry, I'm not talking about cheeseburger hungry. I'm not talking about appetite, physical appetite hungry. I'm talking about when you see them, you know, and you see it in their spirit, you feel it in your spirit, that there's something longing for something more than what they have. They're longing for truth. They're longing for the Word of God. They're longing for the experience that me and you have in this house here today, to where you can come into His presence and that first song begins to be sung, and all all of a sudden the hair on the back of your neck begins to stand up, and you feel something come over you, and you say, I haven't felt this in quite some time. What's happening? Let me tell you, he inhabits the praises of his people. You're simply feeling his presence. So if I was somewhere where I couldn't feel his presence, I would run as fast as I could. But here in this house, we can feel his presence. All around this world, there are churches that are having church right now, and they're feeling his presence. Isn't it amazing that the very same God that can touch young people in Malaysia is the very same God that's in this house here with us today? That's how big our God is. The very same God that healed Pastor of cancer, the very same God, Brother Justin, that healed your mom of cancer, is the very same God that can heal someone else of cancer. The very same God that brought children and young people back to a right mind, to where they can be in the house of God seeking after his presence more than seeking after the addictions of this world. That's the very same God that's wrapped his arms around this world, and he said, whosoever will, let them come. But you've got to put feet to faith. You've got to give your feet faith. You've got to give your faith feet. You've got to be willing to move towards what God is desiring you to do. I've said it several times already. That you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother Jeremy, or Brother Cook, if you could pull up Acts 2:38. Can't think of any better way to challenge the church to end this All Nations Sunday. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Carson, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that's for everybody. Very next scripture. For the promises unto you and to your children. And you ready for the mission? And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The mission is to all. The call is to all. The call is to you. The call is to me. The call is to those that are out there right now that are going to be filling these seats that are empty right now beside you. The call is to those that we are going to have in the sanctuary of 1,000 here in the near future. The call is to your children that you, as a mom or a dad, are praying about each and every single day. And you're saying, God, whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, save them. The call is to those children that are right now are being stirred in the spirit because they have a praying mom and because they have a praying dad. Let me tell you something. Prayer works. There's a reason. I'm going to end it with this. Let's all stand right now. Told you I wasn't going to be too long-winded. There's a reason why the enemy tries so hard to make the church quiet. Here at Landmark, we believe wholeheartedly in praise and worship. We believe wholeheartedly in lifting our voice. Reason being is because in biblical times, when people had a disease, when people had an ailment in their body, and they needed to get God's his attention, then what they did is they raised their voice. The woman with the issue of blood, she crawled, made her way all the way to him to where she could touch the hem of his garment. What she didn't realize is that when she touched the hem of the garment, she didn't touch the H-E-M, she touched the H-I-M. She touched the hem in the flesh. Blind Bartimaeus. Yelling to the top of his lungs. The man that sat beside the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walks up. Would you like to be made whole? Yeah, I'd love to be made whole, but there's nobody to take me to the water when the water's stirring. Jesus looked at him. Broke culture. I love saying that. He said, go ahead and get up. Take up the bed. Walk. He did it. The culture of today's generation, in a lot of cases, is come to the house of God and it's supposed to be a place of quiet. It's supposed to be a place of peace. It's supposed to be a place of reverence. And I'll explain all that here in just a minute. It's supposed to be a place of respect. And respect to God is to be quiet in his presence. God didn't come to be respected. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I told the story of the kidney stone at the very beginning. When I had that kidney stone, buddy, I didn't go to the hospital to respect. I didn't go to the hospital to reverence. Came to the hospital to get somebody's attention. Why? Because they had something that I didn't have. They had something that I needed. And there was an individual in there that had it particularly. The doctor. And when I began to holler for him, he met me there. You see, the very beginning of time, when the whole world was created, how was it created? The spoken word. God said, let there be light, there was light. Let there be darkness, there was darkness. Let it be divided. Let there be water, let there be fish. Let there be animals, let there be this, let there be that. Let the stars be placed in the firmament of the heavens, and let there be the moon, let there be the sun. Let the sun have control over the light and all this. And he spoke it into existence, and it happened. 6 days, it happened. I'm about to break a revelation to you right here. I'm about to give you a revelation that the enemy doesn't want you to know. To all of our guests and to all of our visitors, I cannot tell you enough. We're so grateful and so thankful that you are here with us. You make Landmark look good. You make Landmark what God intended it to be. Without you, guess what? We wouldn't be a church. So if in the very beginning God created it by the spoken word, the Bible says that he made man in his image, made man in his likeness, in the likeness of God. If we're made in the likeness of God, why do you think the enemy tries so hard to keep your mouth shut? Because he recognizes one thing. That the very moment that you begin to open your mouth and say something, things have to be created out of nothing. You say, God, I've come to your presence here today. I've come into your house and I just don't have anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to respond. I don't know. I just don't know. I have nothing. God says, that's okay. Look what I made from nothing. And all of a sudden you begin to say, God, I need this. God, I need your touch. God, I need, God, I need the Holy Ghost. God, I need to be baptized. God, I need something from you. I need your word. I need strength. I need encouragement. I need hope. I need help. And then all of a sudden God says, that's what I was waiting on. And you don't even realize it, but that as you say it, as the words come out of your mouth, all of a sudden things begin to be formed and the devil begins to get a little bit upset because the last time he heard something verbally spoken, all of a sudden something came out of nothing. You need something in your life. Go ahead and break the atmosphere of nothing. You see, by doing what you've already done, just right here, by clapping your hands, all of a sudden you have tore up the atmosphere of the enemy. And he's already nervous about what's about to happen because he realizes that this is a house where the Spirit of God dwells. And he dwells. Come on. I could talk about this all day. That's why we get excited. That's why we like to worship. That's why we like to shout. That's why I'm not ashamed to say, in the name of Jesus. That's why when we pray, we lift our voice. Because when we pray, we don't hope something happens. We expect things to happen. When we pray for people that have cancer, we're not going to pray and say, Lord, I hope that you heal them. God, I hope that you make a way. I hope, even though the doctor said this, it would be nice if you, no. You see, God gave that same power. He said, greater things than these shall you do. So when we pray, what we do is we simply say this, God, you've done it before and you gave us your promise. So God, I am praying right now in the name that's above every other name, by the authority of your word and by the authority of the spoken word. In the name of Jesus, let the miracle happen right now. What's happening? What's happening? Now, let me get your attention, but don't you lose where you're at right now. Don't you lose the atmosphere of what you're feeling right now. You see, what's happening is that when a person begins to speak it, but not only speak it, but understand what they're talking about, understand that the Word of God says it, then all of a sudden the enemy's backbone's got to be broken. And when the enemy's backbone is broken in the atmosphere of the church, then there is liberty. There's freedom. There's liberty for miracles to happen. There's freedom to shout. There's freedom to dance. There's freedom to rejoice. And that's what's happening here in this house today. I want to challenge somebody at closing right now. These altars are open. These altars are open. They've been open from the very beginning of the service. As the Word of God said, to whosoever will. Whosoever will. He's not going to drag you down here. He's not going to make you come down here. He's just going to simply say, I'm here. If you want it, come and get it.
whosoever will. What I want to challenge somebody to do here in this house today is to step outside of your comfort zone, to step outside of your ordinary and become extraordinary. Step outside of your worry, step outside of your fear and say, you know what, God, if you've done it for them, you can do it for me. If you've done it in the past, you can do it again. If you're still a healer, I know you can heal my body. God, I feel your presence here in this place and I'm asking you to do a mighty work. If you can touch them all the way around the world, if you can touch them in Malaysia, then you can meet me here in Lexington. Come on, Landmark, begin to lift your voice and cry out to God and let something begin to be created out of nothing. Lift your voices all across this house right now. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Somebody tell them what needs to be created right now. And watch the enemy begin to tremble. The Bible says that demons tremble at the very mention of his name. You want to shake hell? Go ahead and shout Jesus. Come on, go ahead.
Come into this house. Magnify the Lord, lift up holy hands, our hearts in one accord, for he's worthy of all our praise, for he's worthy of all our praise. Come into this house, magnify the Lord, lift up holy hands.
Says to praise him according to his excellent greatness. How good has he been?
Worthy of honor and glory.
How good has he been to you?
Worthy of time and praise. We lift up our hands and adore thee. Exalt his holy name. Make a melody. Seek unto the Lord. He has given us a song and a sword for his word. All our praise, for he's worthy.
Let's do that right now. Come on, somebody, just clap your hands to a great God. Come on, let's wrap this thing up right now with some praise. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Mercy. I can't thank you enough for being here with us today at Landmark. I hope you felt the freedom. I hope you felt the liberty to be able to worship God however you see fit. The Word of God says to praise Him according to His excellent greatness.